When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Yes! Can we raise and elevate the ghost of John Facenda to redo that? And it just said, wherever it says Raiders, it says Huskers. Like, can we get that? Can we get that done? Like, that, the autumn wind is a Husker. Yeah. Like, we need... come on!
I know. There's got to be a gravelly baritone voice in Lincoln. And there, I know there's some creative people who can write and put things together. They could use that as a template, and let's get with it. A little tough time for my Raiders. They've been in the news lately.
A little bit.
I'll tell you what. I'm really proud of Derek Carr. You know, the way that, you know, when Gruden popped up, you know, he made a great statement. He said, you know, you hate the sin, but you love the sinner. Right? And then I saw the tail end of his statement about Ruggs, where he said, you know, he was really conflicted emotionally about, you know, you got a job to do, you got this guy you got to care about, this tragedy. And he said, you know, I don't know if I'm doing everything right, but I'm doing the best I can. And, you know, for a quarterback to get out front and be that type of leader in today's sports environment, it made me love the Raiders even a little bit more.
It's so, Barry, this – okay, so – and full disclosure for – all the listeners. I mean, Barry and I go way back. So Barry was my high school quarterback. And Barry and I coached together in so many different situations and circumstances. It's not even funny. So there's a shared brain and a shared heart in a lot of different spaces and ways that we go about doing what we do. We've been around programs and players where the leadership – was not positive.
Yes.
And we're able to identify players who have the personal goodness to lead, right? So I'll ask you this thing. Can you be a bad person and lead good people?
No. I was talking to another coach, another good coaching friend of mine who you really enjoy, and he said that one book that he reads over and over again is, I think it's called Football Genius by Mike Lombardi, and he was tasked with going out and finding a head coach. And as he whittled down the list, he stopped using the word head coach, and he realized what he was really looking for was a leader. Mm-hmm. And, you know, leaders also look for leaders. And when you have a team, when it's going good, you you want to be very careful to make sure that you put the right people out front, because a lot of times you need permission or authority to lead, right? Some guys are just, but, you know, and group dynamics being what they are, sometimes that leader that will be there, he needs permission to lead the team. And that's part of we say game recognizes game, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a leader who's leading the whole charge and he has a vision of about what this is supposed to be, how it's supposed to go, and enforces that vision with integrity, then it becomes easier to spot or easier for the correct people to emerge up front. When messages are not clear, when people are being led sometimes by bad people who are trying to do the leadership thing, the integrity's not there, the silliness kind of just it infects the whole thing, and it becomes very difficult. It becomes like a game of whack-a-mole, right? You think you got something, you know, covered over here, and something pops up over here, and the central problem is the right people aren't leading the whole deal.
With that in mind, defensively, there are guys that are in the huddle that can get you in and out of the huddle and get you in and out of a play. What's required for a defensive leader to get his team in and out of a, whether it's a coverage, whether it's a pass pressure, what's required? What kind of verbal leader is required?
Well, we talk about practice a lot. That person, there's a lot of trust that has to be evolved, so that when his calls come out, or when he's making a shift or changing the coverage or getting into a front, the confidence, the trust in his call has to be there. So he has to be that type of person where everybody knows that he unmistakably knows what to get you in of and what to get you out of, right? That you can trust that call. There's no hesitation. He's saying it, I'm in it, we're going. It has to be that way, and that evolves through trust and watching a leader, really how they work. You know, it's not just a playing thing. You know, at these levels, how hard does a guy work? And teammates start to look at that, and then you're on the field. He doesn't seem to make a mistake, right? He's always pushing about the right thing. And if you have good guys on your team and they see a guy doing a lot of good things, they'll tend to run toward that. Right, they'll tend to run toward that and say, "Hey, I'm going to ride with this guy. That's my guy." And it sounds simple, but it gets convoluted, like we talked about earlier. If we don't have the right person leading, if the vision isn't clear, if it's not purposeful, if it doesn't have integrity, you get a mess on your hands.
Barry, what happens when the voice of the coach isn't heard? First, I'll ask, one, what causes a coach's voice to be muted, tuned out, turned off? And then what do you do when that happens?
Well, there's a thousand cause. The central cause is that the players just don't believe in what the coach is doing. I broke my teeth. My very, very first coaching gig was taking over a youth football club. And I say it was a coaching gig because there were five teams to start with, so I can't coach any of these teams. I have to staff them. And within 2 years, it grew to 300 players, 15 teams, 450 parents, and 60 coaches, right? Mm-hmm. So those people have to believe, as I was doing all that, that what I was doing was correct, that it was good, right, and that it was going to benefit everybody involved if we kind of, pulled the rope in the same direction. On the other hand, if all of those same people got a feeling that I was doing something selfish, I was lackadaisical, I wasn't putting as much effort, I wasn't more prepared than they were, I was lazy, all that kind of stuff, then that same group of people, it doesn't go anywhere. It just doesn't. And you don't produce anything. Leadership starts with vision. You have to have a clear vision of how this thing is going to go. And then the structure of how it's going to happen, the process. How do we get there? And that's where the vision and the structure have to have integrity. Everybody involved has to understand the vision, and they have to understand that what you're asking them to do is going to lead them in the direction that you say that you're going to go. And anything that wavers from that allows silliness to get in and tomfoolery and nonsense. And it really starts at the top.
Yeah, it does. We're talking to Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. Barry, it's so when that thing doesn't happen, right, and people will scream out from the tops of buildings and with megaphones, trust the process. But if there's no result in the process, can you trust it?
Well, the answer is no. I mean, it's hard. That's the hardest thing to do. There has to be, when you set up a when somebody's running around, it's kind of cliche. Like, I never, when I was doing that, I never said trust the process. When I was coaching high school basketball, I never said trust the process. This is the way that we're going to do this thing. It involves everybody. Here's your role in it. Here's your position. Here's your place. Let's go get to work. And that if we do this, good things are going to happen. Now, it's hard for me to believe that if you're doing all that good things aren't happening, right? But if you define this thing and good things aren't happening, yes, you're going to eventually start to lose people, and because people just are who they are. So even going back, I'm jumping levels and everything. But even when I was going back to that youth football club that I took over, it was bad, DP.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I could hang my hat on, I didn't say we're going to win. I said that, hey, from a parenting, this is going to be organized. I'll communicate. And that was it, right? So practice was organized. We communicated. We got on the field, off the field. Coaches kind of had a plan when they came to practice. And that's not winning a game, but that's, good stuff. And everybody felt good about it. And that is the process, though, that leads to winning. Yeah, I mean, so it's got to be good from the start. It's got to be clearly defined. I think one of the toughest things in football, and I see it over and over again, and it's hard to do, but it's the right thing to do, is on any possession, there are only 11 players out there. But you have maybe 60 or 70 roles on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not good at defining the role specifically for each of those players in some form or fashion, yeah, you're going to lose them. What's in it for me? At the end of the day, where I'm doing all this, but what's in it for me?
Well,
right? That has to be defined. I'm sorry,
but I know that good coaches that we've been around had steps to success. And
yes.
One, you had to define what success was, right? You can't just say we're going to be successful without telling me one, where you are, two, where you're going. And then three,
right.
How you're going to get there? Like, what it'll look like, when you get there? Like, there's simplicity in this thing that people complicate, and it makes me bonkers, right? That to be around sports teams that say, "Well, we're going to be successful," and then not tell me what that means, and then leaving the fans out because the fans don't know. One, what was committed to? Two, what's the plan? Like, what is the plan? And you and I can say without.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
100% that we've never started a season with the intent of being 500 ever.
Right. No. But let's go to two roots examples I've kind of watched. One I saw close and one I saw from afar, and actually three. I saw three kind of – two up close, actually. Duke, I saw Duke when Coach Cut got there, and they were on the verge of getting to their first bowl game. And then I saw Bronco. And UVA is doing whatever UVA is doing. But I saw how they went about it. They have buy-in at UVA, right? There's a brotherhood there. And then you have Mel Tucker at Michigan. In each of those cases, none of those guys started talking about winning.
Mm.
they just started talking about how this is how we're going to do this thing, right? So fine. Like Mel, you go back, he was talking about coming in out of the spring, you know, can we get our fundamentals down? We've been doing all this. Can we execute a fundamental under pressure?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an important thing. So how you define success? When you go out that day, you execute a fundamental under success, those coaches up in East Lansing are going to sing hosannas, and that's a good day, and the player's going to feel good for himself. But here's the bigger picture. That fundamental is what's going to lead to winning. You get 11 guys executing those fundamentals, knowing their assignments, and everybody around them understands that, hey, if I want to get on the field, if I want to be a part of this team, I've got to know myself when I get on the field. I have to be able to execute. That's the process that leads to, I think they're ranked number 5 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He didn't start saying, hey, this year we're going to go 5-0. I looked at the schedule and blah, blah, blah. They were starting like, you know, and I saw Bronco. Bronco started with, he would have guys, they had this thing that they did early on where they had to hold hands on the sideline on a possession change. So the offense is coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had something, they held hands. There was something that they said. They took another step. There was something they said. And it was like UVA, and they all took the field at the same time. And they don't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
But you understood what he was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to say, I don't know what we are, but we are together on this
stuff. Right.
We had, you know, we may not, but we are together, right? We are together. We off the field, we take the field together, we're going to play together, and we're going to leave the field together, right?
Well,
This is special
because you know the story, right? That I went to a high school, I'd heard I want to say it was a YouTube clip. I don't know what it was. But it resonated with me. And I said, well, geez, what a really cool way to get people to start together. Because you can't finish together if you don't start together. Right? And
yeah.
I said this in a big program. And I said, listen, I'm going to take some of that and I'm going to put it together. I'm going to change it to fit what we do. But I then proposed it to the athletic director who said, no, don't do that. It sounds too much like a prayer. And I said, well, we won't call it a prayer. We'll call it a code. We'll call it the code. Right? And then
right. The
funny thing was, right, that in Virginia years ago, many, 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 many years ago, in every sport, this code was said before the game and after the game. And then I got here, my first time going to a Nebraska practice, I walked out and I looked on the side of the practice, they've got the billboards up, the walls up. And on the walls it says those things that I would say, Barry, how many kids do we know that had to chant the words, day by day, we get better
right.
and better, not
yep.
knowing that it was Nebraska, and then getting here to Nebraska and going, oh,
right.
that's where that came from. We've been using this, just as you said, as a way to yep. listen. We never had the most talented players.
Right.
We never had the biggest, strongest, fastest. We never did.
Right.
But we found a way to get them to start together and finish together. And then in between, the margins close in because you constantly are together. And bad teams are disconnected. Like, that's the first thing you can say about a team that's not winning football games or basketball games. They're not connected. They
right.
are not connected. They don't start together. They don't finish together. Brother, right. listen. I wish you were here this morning when we talked to that basketball team. But you know how it went down. Like, you know how that 20 minutes with the Husker basketball team, you know how that went because you've heard
yeah.
it 100
yeah.
times.
Yeah. If it's possible, I was probably smiling more than you after you called me. It was extra. We had a good day here, but it was a little extra sunshine. Yeah, and just to your point about teams that aren't, it's funny, you know, it becomes a chicken and egg thing. Guys who lose, they don't like hanging out with each other.
Oof.
They don't. And why would we want to hang out with somebody that you're losing with? You don't, right? So that's why these building blocks are so important. That saying, you know, I ran into it at Woodbury, right? Woodbury said, it's not just the saying the things. It's the building blocks that go into those words having authentic meaning for those group of players.
Yeah.
It has to be, all of it has to be connected. And like I said, once it's once it doesn't have integrity, and I'll give you two examples. You know, we go back and talk about these teams. I talk about integrity. You know, there were two things with that JV team. There were at least two moments there where if I didn't do what I did, the players might have started looking at me as talented as they are and said, you know, he doesn't mean what he says. Mm-hmm. One, you and I had always been about grades in football. Well, I mean, grades in sports. And when I first selected that team, one of the bigger players on the team, I got up the and his grades weren't right. Mm-hmm. And so the first move was to sit him down, understand how these grades get back in order, and to not let him practice until each grade got to where it needed to be, and I would give him more and more. Mm-hmm. And he came to practice, right? So that was one. Another one moment was we were rolling along, and probably three of the other guys just drifted while I was working with another unit, and all of a sudden I hear this big clang at my back. Mm-hmm. And what they had decided to do was while all the rest of the team was kind of focused on what was going on, they decided to see who could, you know, hang off the rim. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had to react. And I remember that moment. I stopped practice. Mm-hmm. I stopped practice, and I told everybody, I said, I'm stopping practice because I'm trying to gather my wits so that I don't say or do the wrong thing. And I remember asking the team, like, what do you think you should do? And none of it was right. And I said, here's what I'm going to do. And I told the three guys. I said, you're going to call your parents in here tomorrow. And I'm going to sit down with you and your parents. You're going to tell them exactly what you did. And the reason you're going to tell them what you did during practice is because the next time you slip up and I kick you out of here, they'll know exactly why. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's what I'm saying. Your structure has to have integrity. Right? You can't let guys fly off. And they have to know that, hey, this is the direction that we're going. And if you want to be a part of this, things are going to be really cool. If you don't want to be a part of this, things are going to be really rough, and you may want to get out of here.
You know how I knew? That's the moment, and that was a job that I talked you into taking.
Yes, you did.
Because I saw that. I'm like, wait a minute, you're perfect for this. You will crush this. Now, again, for the folks who know, a high school team that wins 14 of its first games under Coach Thompson and finishes 15-1, and you go, at that moment when you said, I had to shut it down. Because it was mm-hmm. going in a direction that I didn't like. And yep. I said, that team is going to be successful because you did.
Yeah.
You did. You meant what you said. You were a man of your word. Look, for folks, when you look at a team that's talented and it's not producing, it's easy to look at. It's easy to identify what happened, right? They'll tell you, hey, coach, I got you.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Oh, my God. I got you. We used to hate you. My bad.
Yep.
I've got a young quarterback that I'm raising, and he's been great. But he has gotten a PhD course in like 8 weeks about what it means to be a varsity quarterback. And one time there, and something about his school, and he's doing great. We're 8-7-2. He's thrown one interception. He's going to go over 1,000 yards passing. He's doing fine. But, you know, the other place to this, right, we talk about the 22 hours that you're off the field, right? You got to bring them along on that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of new to him. And there was something like a Spanish vocab thing. I said, you're supposed to get this to me. And he goes, I got you, coach. And then the next time I saw him, he didn't have it. He goes, oh, I got you, coach. I go, no, you don't got me.
No, you don't.
I said, if you got me, I would have this. And I said, they have a thing called the peer parent review. And he doesn't know how it works. I said, don't make me get the password so I can get on the peer parent review. Get me those vocab words.
Again,
that idea that you're an adult around these guys and you mean what you say is a big deal. And it takes energy, it takes effort, and it's tough at times. But in the end, it's better for everybody.
Yeah, and I ain't even got to go through this. But when we said, my bad, what does that mean, Coach Thompson?
It means your bad. My bad sits on the bench.
My bad, my bench, man.
We got a place for my bad. It's right on the bench.
My bad gets you on my bench. That is how that works. And it happens one time. I get to hear it one time, and we're going to hear no more. Coach, what are we eating?
Well, we went over to North Africa, and we zeroed in on the country of Tunisia. There's a dish over there called Labi, L-A-B-I, and it's a wonderful dish that you can put together under an hour. except for one exception. You have to use these dried chickpeas. You can't use the garbanzo beans. You have to dry, so you have to let them soak in 12 hours or, you know, 24 hours, whatever that is. But the dish is phenomenal. It starts with just some basic stuff, some onions, some garlic, some tomato paste. I heard you were talking about a little Italian food, tomato paste. And there's kind of like the equivalent of North African salsa called harissa. It's spicy and has stuff that goes in there, and cumin. And that's the base of this. And then the water goes in, the chickpeas go in, and you let it go for about an hour. That simple. Now, while that's going on, the whole thing about this dish is the condiments that go on it. So while that's doing its thing, you get some green olives, chop them up, some capers, chop them up, some parsley, chop it up, some cilantro, chop it up, a little extra harissa if you want it extra spicy, some lemon wedges, some cumin, and I won't call it a hard-boiled egg, but a hard-boiled egg would be fine. A great way to do that, by the way, is just to get a pot, put some water, steam it for about 7, 8, 9 minutes, depending on what you want the yolk to do, and that comes out. Now, in the bowl, before you ladle this in, you put stale bread. Or you can make your own croutons and put that in there, and it has an interesting roll. So you have your stale bread in there, and then you ladle this stuff on top of that bread, and then you begin to put on the condiments. Today I went around the world. So I put the olives on, I put the capers on, a little olive oil, a squeeze of lemon, the parsley, the cilantro, a little harissa on top, a little cumin, and split the egg, and I had it in the dish. It's a wonderful, wonderful dish that you can do under an hour. There's nothing funky in it. These are all kind of flavors and textures that we're used to, but it's a wonderful, wonderful dish. It has taste, it has texture, and you can put it together under an hour. And I'm sitting right out of Total Wine here. I'm going to get a beer to go with my second helping.
Man, bruh. Oh, yeah, I'll share a picture of it so folks
can
see it.
Yes, please do.
It is no joke. Barry Thompson, love you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
That is Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. Up next, Hall of Famer. Husker Hall of Famer Jay Foreman will call us and we'll talk to the Hall of Famer next.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.